It is incredible to look at some of the things that were spoken this week and realize how these things are playing out right in front of our eyes. I mean, don't know the direction, don't know how it's going to wind up, but just to look at some of these words that were spoken and the possibilities is awfully powerful. So I've been reading through the different speeches this week. President Ahmadinejad, Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinians, and then Benjamin Netanyahu. And so I wanted to point out two or three things here again, just to let you key on words that are spoken and the possible meanings behind them, because I think they're important that we realize what's being said and what it does to us. And I told you that Ahmadinejad always ends his speeches with, calling for the coming of the Islamic Messiah. Well, he did it at his opening and closing this time, which is kind of interesting. But at the beginning of his speech, he said, "In the name of God, the compassionate and the merciful, all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the universe, and peace and blessing be upon our master and prophet Muhammad and on his pure household, his noble companions, and on all divine messengers. O God, hasten the arrival of Imam al-Mahdi and grant him good health and victory and make us his followers and all those who attest to his rightfulness." Okay, so again, in front of the General Assembly of all the nations of the world, he calls for the Islamic Messiah, the appearance of the Islamic Messiah to come. Which is pretty amazing to do that. And then part of the ending that he said is, "I would like to reiterate again my proposal. I am sure that through international cooperation, diligence, and efforts by committed world leaders and governments, and through insisting on the realization of justice and the support of all other nations, we can expedite the building of a common bright future." Sounds beautiful. "This movement is certainly on its rightful path of creation, ensuring a promising future for humanity, a future that will be built when humanity initiates to tread the path of the divine prophets and the righteous under the leadership of Imam al-Mahdi, the ultimate savior of mankind." Oh, see, we got an ultimate savior of mankind. "And the inheritor to all divine messengers and leaders and to the pure generation of our great prophet." The pure generation of our great prophet alludes to the Shiites, because the Shiite sect are the ones that believe that the leadership of Islam should come from a blood relative descendant of Muhammad. Okay, so that's his little stab at the Sunnis. "The creation of a supreme and ideal society with the arrival of a perfect human being who is a true and sincere lover of all human beings is the guaranteed promise of Allah. He will come alongside with Jesus Christ." See, there you go. "To lead the freedom and justice lovers to eradicate tyranny and discrimination and promote knowledge, peace, justice, freedom, and love across the world, he will present to every single individual all the beauties of the world and all good things which bring happiness to humankind." Oh, so it's beautiful, isn't it? And so again, like I told you, the Muslims say that the Quran tells us that Jesus is the Messiah, and it does. But like we found out in our last class, it is a very different Messiah than what is described in the Bible. And that's the danger. And so here it is in black and white that he is saying that the Imam al-Mahdi, the Islamic Messiah, will come in conjunction with Jesus Christ in order to bring in this beautiful world again. That's not what Jesus says. He's coming for war, number one. So there's a lot of things that are going on. So this is Ahmadinejad. Also during his talk, of course, he questioned the Holocaust, as he always does. And then my favorite little sentence of his was, he referred to that mysterious 9/11 incident. Man. Mysterious 9/11 incident. So I tell you, that guy. Well, he believes it was a conspiracy that was brought about by the CIA and, of course, the Jews. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole level of conspiracy out there that, and it's all over, I won't get into it, but he believes that there were explosive charges set that caused the towers to tumble. So that's why it's mysterious. Yeah. Well, the Hadith does. The Hadith, yeah. Yeah, the Quran doesn't. I know, but it's just all kind of messy. All right, so then the next speaker is Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the PLO. And so some of the words that are kind of interesting to key on. He came to talk about the plight of the Palestinian refugees who are the victims of al-Nakba, catastrophe or disaster in Arabic, that occurred in 1948. Well, what catastrophe was that? The creation of the State of Israel. And every year they observe May 14th as al-Nakba Day, the catastrophe. Now then, let me ask you, it just crosses my mind. If you're wanting to set up a peace treaty with your neighboring nation, and you're calling their creation a catastrophe, I don't know, but that this doesn't quite sit real well in negotiations. Also, another telltale sign that was really, oh my goodness, he says, I come before you today from the Holy Land, the land of Palestine, the land of divine messages, ascension of the prophet Muhammad, and the birthplace of Jesus Christ. Great. Who did he leave out? Any reference to any Jewish forefather whatsoever. And again, you would think that if you're entering into negotiations, you would at least acknowledge that yes, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came from this territory. I mean, all of the prophets of the Quran that are listed that are Jewish. And all of the prophets of the Old Testament are in the Quran that they talk about as being prophets of Islam. You would think that he would have at least mentioned one. How about Moses? You know, but no. So again, you got to think, was that planned? Or was that just, I don't know. I think it was. So that just kind of another slap. And then here's the actual statement. I'd like to inform you that before delivering this statement, I submitted in my capacity as the President of the State of Palestine and Chairman of the Executive Committee of the Palestine Liberation Organization to Mr. Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, an application for the admission of Palestine on the basis of the 4th of June 1967 borders with Al-Quds Al-Sharif, or East Jerusalem, as its capital, as a full member of the United Nations. So there it is, black and white, the words are out. And it's just exactly what I said was that with that statement, what he's saying is that we will take the borders back to the pre-Six-Day War borders. The pre-Six-Day, June 4th is before the Six-Day War started. So all of the territory that Israel acquired during the wars, they're saying, well, they have to kind of give it all back. And that's where we'll start. All right, and then with East Jerusalem as the capital, which, like I've said before, includes the old city of Jerusalem and Temple Mount. It's not going to work. Not going to work. But that's where their statehood bid is going. And so again, like I said, with this statement, if it proceeds, it's basically saying that Israel is trespassing on our nation if this is accepted, because Israel, during the Six-Day War, the War of Independence in 48 and the Six-Day War in 67, took territory during wars. Now, and like I say, you think that throughout history, to the victor go the spoils. Mm-hmm. Well, not in this case. Not in this case. They've got to give it all back. And let me remind you, at the end of the Six-Day War, all the territory that Israel acquired, they offered it back to the Arab nations at that moment. They said, we'll give this all back if you will sign a peace treaty with us and if you will recognize us as a Jewish nation. The answer from the Arab nations was no on all counts. Okay, so over and over and over, Israel has been the one to offer territory, to offer anything. They gave the Gaza Strip back. They gave Lebanon back. They did all of these things. And how it was supposed to work was peace. How it actually worked was war in every single case. Okay? So again, the Palestinians say, well, let's go back and try it again. Well, it's not going to work. So that's out. And then Netanyahu spoke. And I after reading his message and studying, I guess I come to the conclusion that Benjamin Netanyahu is the only world leader who has the moral wherewithal to actually hold a mirror up to the hypocrisy of the United Nations and tell them what's going on. I tell you some of these things that I'm going, how beautiful this is, but he's the only one that's saying these words. He says, well, this is an unfortunate part of the United Nations institution. It's the theater of the absurd. It doesn't only cast Israel as a villain. It often casts real villains in leading roles. Gaddafi's Libya chaired the United Nations Commission on Human Rights. And they did. Saddam's Iraq headed the UN Committee on Disarmament. And they did. You might say, well, that's the past. Well, here's what's happening now. Right now, today, Hezbollah-controlled Lebanon now presides over the UN Security Council. And that's true. This means, in effect, that a terror organization presides over the body entrusted with guaranteeing the world's security. You couldn't make these things up. I mean, I love that. I love it. But that's what one of the fears is that Abbas said that they're going to bring their statehood bid to the Security Council either tomorrow or Tuesday. And Lebanon is, you know, there's a rotating leadership on the Security Council. And Lebanon is head of it right now. And so it's, you know, kind of up in the air. We hope that the United States will veto and then they'll pursue a different course, but don't know. And one of these quotes that he said, so in the face of the labels and the libels, Israel must heed better advice. Better a bad press than a good eulogy. I love that. And better still would be a fair press whose sense of history extends beyond breakfast and which recognizes Israel's legitimate security concerns. Oh, man. It's pretty powerful. So, and then the last thing that I had of his was, he said, yet a malignancy is now growing between East and West that threatens the peace of all. It seeks not to liberate, but to enslave, not to build, but to destroy. That malignancy is militant Islam. It cloaks itself in the mantle of a great faith, yet it murders Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike with unforgiving impartiality. On September 11th, it killed thousands of Americans. It left the Twin Towers in smoldering ruins. Last night, I laid a wreath on the 9/11 memorial. It was deeply moving, but as I was going there, one thing echoed in my mind, the outrageous words of the president of Iran on this podium yesterday. He implied that 9/11 was an American conspiracy. Some of you left this hall. All of you should have. Ooh, boy. So, pretty amazing. So, that's just a few of the things that came up that I think are very important, because this kind of tells where the hearts are of all the different individuals going into these negotiations or these statehood bids or whatever. So that's pretty amazing to see those things. Also, this Thursday is Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the Jewish New Year. It will be the year 5772. And for the Jews, and looks like it's going to be a tumultuous year right from the very start. Also, just a couple of other things that just kind of popped up this week. Vladimir Putin announced that he's going to be running for president of Russia. I'm going. Let's see, there is a Gog of Magog, isn't there? So, and then Prime Minister Erdogan out of Turkey is really pushing his weight around from the Turkish viewpoint in several different ways. He's really pressuring Israel to make an apology for the flotilla raid, and there's several things going on with Turkey that they are really rising to a status of power among the in that area of the world in the Mideast. The other thing that was odd, kind of off the cuff after the meetings, he suggested to Ban Ki-moon that they move the United Nations to Istanbul, and that Turkish becomes the common language. Yeah, really, I thought, well, that's really strange out of left field there. So, anyway, that's all kind of balled in there together. And let's see, this is the last thing that Netanyahu said. President Abbas just stood here and he said that the core of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is the settlements. Well, that's odd. Our conflict has been raging for nearly half a century before there was a single Israeli settlement in the West Bank. So if what President Abbas is saying was true, then the settlements, I guess he's just talking about, are Tel Aviv, Haifa, Jaffa, Beersheba, you know, all the major cities. Maybe that's what he meant the other day when he said Israel has been occupying Palestinian land for 63 years. He didn't say from 1967. Whoops, a little slip up there. He said from 1948. I hope somebody will bother to ask him this question because it illustrates a simple truth. The core of the conflict is not the settlements. The settlements are a result of the conflict. The conflict that began on Catastrophe Day. Number one, they don't recognize the nation of Israel. And so that's the root of the problem, not the settlements. So I thought that was pretty brilliant that he brought that to the forefront.